We've been talking about there is more. Obviously, if you look up, you can see it everywhere in the room and outside of the room. There's more. There's more. There's more. There's more. There's more.
More.
And I want more.
I want.
Woo. Double time. More talk there. But there's more. There's more. Today, we're going to kind of get into it a little bit of like, there's more from you. There's more through you. So it's kind of like a double dip because there's more from you that is required, and then God's trying to do something through you at the same time. There's more, and I hope you come prepared. Hope you come leaning in and ready to receive what God has in store. I'll tell you, last week, Pastor Jen preached a powerful message. And if you weren't here, man, go on YouTube and check it out. Go to the podcast, and maybe you don't know that, but you can. If you listen to music anywhere, that's where we're going to be. If you're on Spotify, guess what? Remnant Church is on Spotify. If you're on iTunes, guess what? Remnant Church is on iTunes. If you're on Apple, guess what? Remnant Church is on Apple. If you're on Amazon Music, guess what? Remnant Church is on Amazon Music. I don't know if you realize that or not, but we're in every area with the Word of God. So find it, click it, look it up, and then save it and add it. And every time a sermon pops up and anything pops up, you will get a notification about it. And you can listen to it while you're, you know, traveling or while you're working. Whatever the case is, get it in your heart. Get it in your soul. Amen? It's good what God's doing. Whew. Man. I don't know about you, but God's up to something. You are here on purpose. I don't know how you got here. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened to get you here. I don't know what the story is. As of right now, it doesn't matter. As of right now, God put you in a place in this moment right now. And to receive and to get what God has in store for you. We have read this scripture. I'm going to read it again. It's in Luke 9, 20, 23 through 26. It says, "Then he said to the crowd, 'If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me.'" See, we talk about the cross a lot, about what Christ did on the cross, and it's great. And Pastor Jen says some powerful stuff. And a lot of times people are stuck at the cross when Christ has so much more for you. He's not there. Sometimes you see people, you see crosses everywhere, and you see Jesus still. He ain't hanging on the cross. He ain't there anymore. But this is what he's saying. If any of you want to be my follower, you must give up your own way. What is your way? Holy cow. We have our own ways in all areas of our personal life. We have to bow it down and give it to him and take up your cross daily. Not just one time, well, I'll just carry it over to the wall. No, this is a daily walk. You walk with the cross. And what does that kind of do? That reminds us that we have to die to our flesh and live by the Spirit of God daily. Because our flesh wants to go off. Our flesh wants to get out. Our flesh wants to go crazy. Our flesh wants to reach out and touch somebody. But we have to die daily on the cross and live by the Spirit of God, because there's more for you. There's more from you. There's more through you. And follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. Well, I'm just trying to hold on to this thing. I just can't shake it. You know, I just can't live without it. You'll lose it. But if you give your life for my sake, you will save your life. You will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose yourself or destroyed? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message, what did he say? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in his glory, in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. If you're ashamed of God, he's going to be ashamed of you when you go to bow that knee. There will be a time where it'll be, depart from me, I don't know you. But I did this, God. But I did this, God. But I did this, and even in your name, God. But I don't know you. That's some tough stuff. People trying to live their own truth and trying to just do what they want. You got to die of your flesh daily and live by the Spirit daily. I guess I would call this message cross movement. This thing's got to move. It's set long enough. For the last few weeks, this one's been sitting here long enough. It's got to move. The cross you have, where's it at? Is it still on your neck? Is it hanging on the wall in your house? Is it hanging on the car? You got to carry your cross and move with it. There has to be movement. It is a cross movement of your life. It has to move. God wants to do something in you. He wants to do something. He wants something from you. That's you doing this, and he wants something through you. You got to get moving. The cross has to move. Don't let the cross sit stagnant, church. It can't sit stagnant, church. It has to move. Amen? Good morning. Let me read 1 Kings 19, 16. And it says, you shall anoint, everybody say anoint. Anoint. You shall anoint Jehu as king of Israel. And Elisha, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. See, this is Elijah and God talking to Elijah after he ran, after the whole, it's a long story, and we'll get to it sometime in the future, but this is all about him running from Jezebel, hiding in the mountain, and finally when they get this connection, and he's finally giving up his flesh and living by the Spirit, God's like, look, I need you to anoint Jehu as king. Now, Jehu wasn't king. Jezebel's husband was king. Anybody know his name? Ahab. Boom. Ahab was king. But he said, I need you to go to anoint Jehu as king. And I need you to go anoint Elisha as prophet in your place. Right. Now, Elijah was prophet. Now, that's going to be a crazy thing. That's, you're going to go over there and anoint somebody else as you're doing the job right now, that they're going to take your place. I wish I could get into that, but I can't. I can't at all. Not now, anyway. It's amazing what he tells him to do. And he goes and he anoints these two men. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. I want you to see and notice and mark maybe two things in the scripture, maybe in your mind, or if you want to write it in your Bible. It's okay to mark up your Bible. Some people think that it's so holy you can't write in it. It is that holy, but you can write in it. You can highlight in it, you can write, you can take notes. I even got side notes on side notes and side notes. They're just going to get me into heaven quicker. You know what I'm saying? So if you're not taking notes, you're not going. You know what I mean? Like, come on. We need you going. But get locked in on this. So if it is, so mark this in your mind or mark it on your Bible. The king, the prophet, anoint. The king, the prophet, anoint. Mark these things up. I want to give you an importance of this message, and I'm trying my best to just not like unload this so fast. That I want to share with you, and it's about you. This message is about you. If you're in this room, or if you're listening live, if you're listening later, this message is about you. All about you. And that God's called you, and God's plan for your life. This is all about you. There's more. Church, there is more. See, sometimes we don't understand that the anointing is the anointing. Let me say it again. Sometimes we don't understand that the anointing is the anointing. We don't talk about it a lot. Sometimes it don't get talked about enough. But the anointing is the anointing. There's not an anointing on the king, and it's a little bit different. And then there's an anointing on the prophet that's a little bit different. Notice two people were anointed in that one verse. Two people in that one verse were anointed. He said to anoint, Jehu as king. He said to anoint Elisha as prophet. There's two people because the anointing is the anointing. I need you to anoint this person, and I need you to anoint that person. Like I said, sometimes we don't understand that the anointing is the anointing. Two in one verse. See, there was a man who was anointed to be king, and then there was a man who was anointed to be prophet. Prophet, the mouthpiece of God in the ministry. The prophet, the mouthpiece that went forth. See, one is, I guess you would say, government. One is like secular, you would call. One is like workplace. One is like a job. The king is not necessarily seemingly anything like to do with like ministry. Quote, the ministry of like the fivefold gifts. Yet he's anointed. The king's not necessarily like to do with different ministry, but he's still anointed. He's anointed. And then it says he poured the oil on Elisha, the prophet. Or to be the mouthpiece of the ministry. He poured the oil on the prophet as well. So my point to you, church, my point today is this, that the anointing is the anointing. The anointing is the anointing. The same anointing, church, the same anointing that is on the preacher is the same anointing that's on the carpenter. The anointing is the anointing. The same anointing that's on the singer is the same anointing that's on the banker. That's on the businessman. That's on the car dealer. The same anointing that's on the preacher is on the insurance agent. We like to really act like God just appoints prophets and priests and spiritual people, you know, in the church. We want to act like he just appoints this just in the church. When the truth is, the anointing, I'll say it again, and you're going to hear me say this a couple times, is the anointing is the anointing. And throughout the Bible, there were not just the anointed priests and those who bring forth the word of God, but there were anointed kings in the Bible. There were anointed kings and there was other people that were anointed to do great things. See, in Revelations 1, I believe it's in verse 6, that he says in Revelation that he's made us kings and priests. You got to look into this. This is so crazy. It says that he has made us kings and priests. The Father God, glory to his name. He's done all this. He's made you kings and priests. See, some of us are considered priests, spiritual speaking, meaning we're in the ministry. And this is what we do, but others have been called, and he says he's made us kings and priests, others have been called kings. What did a king do? A king, he would go out and he would conquer. He would take the spoils. He would take them in and take the spoils of the natural world that he would conquer, and he would bring them back, and the king would provide the provision of the vision of the prophet. The king would provide the vision of what the priest or the prophet would bring to the table at the house of God, and the king would go out and bring it back in. And yet both had to be anointed. Both had to be anointed. I really think that we need to understand, church, that the anointing is not just for something for preachers and people on the platform that have some kind of gift that you see every Sunday. But the anointing is on you. The anointing is on you. It is on you. And please don't minimize it, because the anointing is the anointing. It's the Holy Spirit. And just like that, I don't dare to walk up to this pulpit without preparing my soul for my calling. I've read my Bible today. I read it late last night. I read it yesterday. I read it the day before. I'm not just reading my Bible because I got to preach. I read my Bible daily because it's my life. It's my food. I'm hungry. I've read my Bible. I've prayed. I've studied. I've sought God. I've asked Him for wisdom. I've asked Him to lead me and guide me. If I take the anointing seriously, you should have the same anointing that I have. You have the same anointing, and you should never approach your job that you do, that you're not praying in your car on the way to your job, that you're not taking the time to seek God because you're anointed to do the job that God's given you to do, that you're not taking the time to say, God, I need you in all of this. I would be afraid, church. I would be nervous. You know, if I walked up here and I'm not prepared, and if anything, I'm probably over-prepared. I got stuff everywhere. I'm probably over-prepared because you know you got to give God something to anoint. You got to give something to God to anoint. What's He going to anoint? So here's what I'm trying to say to you. Just like I wouldn't approach my place as a preacher, you should not approach your anointing in a light way. You shouldn't approach your anointing in a light way as maybe you work with computers, you're an analyst, or whatever you do, or maybe you're a stay-at-home person that you stay at home, and it's not just stay-at-home mom, it's mom or dad now. Like, it's just what it is. But whatever you do, don't take it lightly. Whatever it is, I don't care if you're a mechanic, I don't care if you work with your hands, you should be prepared. You should stir it up. You should stir the anointing up on your way to the place that you've been called. But too many times we don't. We just do the 9 to 5 or the 8 to whatever, and we just drag our feet. And every Monday, we're like, oh my gosh, it's Monday. It doesn't matter what day it is. God, you have anointed me to do a job. I am prepared. God, use me as you see fit. I put on the helmet of salvation. I put on... What do you do with the anointing you have? The cross got to move. It's got to get moving. Should be prepared. God, I need you today. On your way to work or whatever the job is you have today, I need you today. You know, what if I called by the way, Tyree, you did a great job, bud, leading worship, man. You did a great job. I was thinking about it. Tyree, what if I called you late last night? Because I've already done this to Sam, but... Hey, Tyree, let me get my phone so we can play. I'll flip it open because it's cool now. Bro, I really need you to preach tomorrow morning. I got to go. But I called you and said, I need you to preach in the morning. Late last night. It's like, you know, you don't go to bed till like 2, so it's late. Hey, bro, I really need you to preach in the morning. I really do. I do. you're going to speak Sunday morning. You know what he would have done? He would have been running around in that house trying to talk to Hannah, but shutting her out and trying to hide in a room and pace the floor and sweat bullets, and his stomach's getting upset. Might have to sit on the toilet for a minute, but he would be pacing the floor. Oh, God, help me. There's no way. Oh, my. But he would pace, and then he would pray, and then he would seek God. I'm like, I don't even know what to, God, you're going to have to use me. You're going to have to. You see what I'm trying to say? Because when the anointing hits you, it doesn't matter. You just get in a room and you start to pray and say, God, whatever it is, use me in this, at this moment right now. Right now. Yeah, he probably would have ran off and done all kinds of stuff, started fasting. He's already fasted. So been fasting, sweating bullets, cried, done something, and came in. And that's happened, Sam, hasn't it? Why? Because we ought to approach our job the way, if the anointing is the anointing, and the Bible says that he anoints kings and he anoints priests, and he anoints kings and he anoints prophets. And if he anoints these things, then it's nothing to be played with. If the anointing is on you, if Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, Lord of all, the Holy Spirit comes down and is your comforter. The anointing rests on your life. What are you doing with the anointing you have right now? Are you taking a cross, and is it moving? Or do you just go to work every day and just show up and do what you got to do, and you do it? But is it with a purpose and a desire, because I'm called here? I'm called to do this. Maybe I might not like it, but for right now, I'm called here now. And I'm anointed to do this job. So God, help me. Help me stay in focus. Help me not get frustrated. Help me stay the course. I commit my life to you. Today's a good day. That's why it says to put on the fullness of joy. You have to put it on. You might not like it when you wake up feeling like you got to go to work, but you better put on the fullness of joy and start walking joy out. I'm going to have a good day. Today's going to be a good day. Only three people know those things. Woo. Maybe we should approach our workplace like that it's anointed place of God. And he has put me here for such a time as this. Maybe we should approach our workplace like, God put me here for such a time as this. Thank you, God, for giving me the opportunity to work this job and to provide for my family and to do the things I need to do that's right, God. I pray you touch me today as you have anointed me to take on this task, whatever the task is, whatever you do in life. And I don't care if you're like, well, I'll just stay home. I don't, whatever this task is at home, you have anointed me to be at the place I'm at right now, to care for my children, to do the things I need to do, or to be a banker, or to be a construction worker. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, God, I give it to you today. You've given it to me. I take a knee. I've prayed. I've sought. I'm picking up my cross, and here we go. Hello, Monday. Cross movement. This thing's got to get moving. Here's why it's important. That's your place of influence, church. Wherever you are is your place of influence. I would say in this scenario that this is my place of influence. I don't dare to step into it not ready. I don't dare to step into this not ready. You know, have not prayed, or I haven't sought God, or not said, Lord, please help me today. I'd never dare to do that. And your place of influence is your job or your home. And whatever it is, you should never take that job or that position casual. Never take it casual. Ever. See, the day that I get to where this is casual, this, what I'm doing right now, is casual, I think God has the right to remove the anointing from my life. Is that true? Would you agree with that? That I'm just taking it casual, and it's just whatever it is. Would you agree that God should be able to pull the anointing out of him and just take it away and give it to somebody else? Do you agree? Why do we play with it at our own jobs then? If we call on the name of Jesus and he's Lord of our life and the Holy Spirit is with us and we are anointed to do the job we have, why do we take it casual then? We got a weird mindset thinking that it's only for the church. The cross has got to get moving. Everybody's cross is going to look different. Man, I know this is kind of a mix and it's kind of like, well, this is crazy where you're going with this. Jesus Christ died. They put him on some kind of whipping post. Stretched his back out. Took the cat of nine tails, 39 lashes across his back. Ripped his guts open. Let him hang out, kind of just dangling all over his body. Bleeding almost to death. And still survived that. Which he should have died there. But you know why he still survived? Because he said, by my stripes, you're healed. Hold on, there's 38. I need one more. I have to have one more. Because somebody out there is going to need that healing. They beat him. I'm not trying to be so graphic, but it's graphic, man. It's real. We put up with stupid stuff. We watch stuff. We watch these videos. We see somebody get burnt alive on camera right there at the Trump thing and all this stuff, and they're trying to put him out and stuff. Jesus died. He's not even dead yet. They're whipping him. His guts, his just the stuff's just falling off of him, dangling. And yet now you got to carry a cross. Not only did we beat you and then just gamble a little bit and make fun of you, oh, here's the king, blah, 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 and put it on his head and do all the stuff. Oh, guess what? You're going to pick up a cross and you're going to take it to Golgotha. And you're like, well, this ain't Easter. It doesn't matter. This is the message. This is why you live. And we wonder why we play with it. And here comes Jesus carrying the cross out of the square. He barely can stand. He's probably completely in shock and numb. And stuff is hanging out. And things are happening. He's pretty much almost naked. And he's been beat. Everything's swollen. And he's a mess. And he's dragging the cross when they let a murderer go. And an innocent man has to carry something. And here he goes. Let's get him out in the square. Come on, and they're kicking him, and they're whipping him, and they're telling him to keep moving, keep going, keep moving. And this is supposed to be a festival to celebrate something great. What is going on? People from all over the world were coming to this festival because it's so popular. It is a huge festival to pay respects to God, to bring a sacrifice. They would walk all these animals as a sacrifice. And we had some corrupt priest in the hood saying, well, your animal's not good enough. You need to buy mine for 2 times the price because yours is just wore. Yours is wore out. You know why? Because it's walked 500 miles. You're corrupt, and you wonder why Jesus flipped the tables in the temple. You're all messed up. Double charging people that are coming out from, and you know they're, because they're not Jewish, and they're coming to celebrate and give an offering to God. And you're going to double charge them and say that what they brought to give to God wasn't good enough. What they're called is modern day pastors. So they're pushing him out to the road and getting him down the street and trying to get him up to the skull hill called Golgotha. It's very interesting because they call it the Via Dolorosa. I've walked it. I've been there. I've walked on the Via Dolorosa. I've had an opportunity to go to Israel. It was unreal. This ain't about me, but I'm just saying, I've seen it with my own eyes. I wish we could take a church to Israel. It starts calming down, if it ever does. But by the time it calms down, that's when Christ comes. So, but the Villa Della Rosa wasn't just some kind of backstreet, like go behind the wall and let's carry the cross. No, the Villa Della Rosa was the marketplace. It was the main commerce. It was right in the heart of everything that is being sold and traded and bargained. And you see what I'm saying? It was right in the heart of it. We're going to take him right down here through 3rd Street over here. We're going to take him right up here by 12 Point. We're going to take wherever it's busy. Oh, there's a new casino. Okay, we're going to walk him all the way through the heart of the casino. The Villa Della Rosa was the marketplace. Was full market. They didn't take him on the back. They made him beat, bloody, dripping blood all the way to carry his cross through the Villa Della Rosa, which was the marketplace of Jerusalem. It was the commerce. It was busy. It was busyness. It was secular Jerusalem. It was everything of just for the people. And let me just say it like this. We got enough crosses in churches. We need to get some crosses out there in the marketplace, church. It's time to get the cross and start moving with it. It's time to get the crosses out in the marketplace, out in the businesses, out in the city. It's time to carry the cross. It's time to take your anointing seriously, or he'll take it from you. I mean, you were good with it taken from me if I don't do my job right, right? And if the anointing's the anointing, it doesn't matter who he anoints. If we call on the name of Christ and the Holy Spirit dwells within us and the anointing is on our lives, then if you're not doing your job and it's casual, what are you doing with it then? That's going to work today. I can't believe it. I might grab a few beers after work, but I could be at church Sunday. What are you doing with the anointing? Christ went through the marketplace so you can live. We carry it in just casual, well, I'll just do whatever I want. It's my truth. It's my life. It's whatever. And I'll just occasionally, if I can mark the box and just show up and tickle my fancy. No, he wants you to live. He wants you to have an experience, a revival in your home, a revival at your workplace. Not just church. I think that's where the church is getting it so backwards. They're like, God, come to the church. Come to the church. No, God's like, go to the city. Go to the city. And they'll come to the church as a result. Because they're looking for someone somewhere safe and a place and a lighthouse in the city, which is a church, a local church that's shining the light of Jesus right here in this area. I didn't preach for a while. Sorry. Is this good? I have to swallow that one a lot. We all got to swallow that. This is good stuff. The cross was carried, man, through the marketplace. Here goes Jesus through the Villa Della Rosa. He's wanting us to do it. See, we need some people that were willing to take what they believe. And they don't got to preach to people. Take what you believe. You ain't got to preach to people sometimes. You just got to live life for God and be a light and shine and let the anointing of your life shine through you. I think sometimes we're just talking too much. Let your actions speak louder than your words. We tell it to our kids all the time, but as a Christian, do it yourself. We got to start doing this stuff. Shine that light. The anointing wants to resonate through the lives of people. He drug it through the busyness, the busy district of Jerusalem. I've been down there, man. It is packed. There's stuff. There's a little shop, hole in the wall, everywhere you go. That's where I found that shofar I have. I don't know. Some of you might never seen it, but I have a shofar. I'm telling you, it's all the way down to the floor. It's huge. And we take them and we make them shrines here in America. But just being honest, they're in boxes just thrown against the wall in the corners all over Jerusalem. And then we take them and we shrine them up. And And I get the point of it. I get what it was about and what it's for. But if we're just blowing just to be blowing, we're going to cause confusion to people. We've got to have some knowledge and understanding and direction. Because without knowledge, the people, they perish. So we got to bring knowledge to it. We can't just go rogue and you're just in your own world. And it's like, you're not, what are you doing? You're putting on a show. Go sit down. See, nobody wants to do that. Everybody's afraid they're going to walk on the eggshells. But if the anointing's not there, sit down. You know. And see, we're called to go into places. Look, you go to places that I don't even know. Some of you that work construction walk into homes of people that you would never walk into, but besides just doing the job, and you never know what God will do in that moment. That your walk, every step is the order of God. The anointing's walking into this house. I don't care what's going on in this house, but I'm telling you, we take authority in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus over this. You heard me preach about the blood of Jesus and about what happened in Exodus. Why aren't we pleading the blood when we walk into our workplace? I plead the blood of Jesus over this building. Some of you plead the blood over your airport, the airplane, because you're afraid. I plead the blood. You touch it like, I plead the blood right now. You better keep me safe. I just walk on because I'm like, God, I ain't dying today because I got too much to do. If I die, I die. Just not today. But we got to plead the blood over the situation. It was a public walk. And I think that's what God's trying to do. He's trying to get us to a place where we're taking the cross back to where it belongs, back to the city. It's been hidden too long in the churches. It needs to get back into the city. It needs to get back into public. We hang them in our rooms. We hang them around our necks. We hide them and we tattoo them on our bodies. We do all kinds of stuff. But are you living the life of what you're saying and showing on your walls and on your arms and on your neck? Carry your cross. It's vital to somebody's life. Because it's an example. Why are you carrying that cross? What's going on? Wait, hold up. All hell's breaking loose in your life and you're happy. How are you even, what's going on with you? Oh, I've been carrying this cross, and I've had to die to my flesh and live by the Spirit and know that the anchor still holds, that it doesn't dictate my situation, but I know that God has it in control, and I might just be in the eye of the storm, but I see the testimony that happens when you carry your cross and you live that way no matter what you face. But too many times we've left the cross in the closet, and then we just go and just carry our own burdens, and we carry our depression, and we carry our anxiety, and we carry our... Didn't the Bible say that cast all your cares upon him who cares for you? If we're not casting them on him, why are you puking on everybody else? What are they going to do for you? Tickle your fancy for a moment? Oh, well, I get it. I understand. Oh, and or it's going to be the one up. We know who those are. Oh, I'm sick. No, I'm sicker. You know, the one that has it better. Man, I have anxiety. No, my anxiety has anxiety. It's an anxiety. Yeah. Like, there's always that one. But the point is you don't have to talk about any of that. I'm not saying that you're not ashamed to say, look, I deal with stuff, but look, it doesn't have me. God's got me. I'm good. I'm working through this. Amen. Got to go. Whew. Luke 26. Jesus is on the Via della Rosa. He's running. He's not running. They're running him ragged, trying to get him to the cross, to the hill to put him on it. But as they led Jesus away, a man named Simon from Cyrene. Simon from Cyrene. Cyrene, if you look it up, you got to read your Bible, and then you got to study it. Because what's crazy about Simon from Cyrene is Simon isn't from Jerusalem. Simon is on a visit called the feast, and he's brought things to make a sacrifice, and he is there during the festival, and he's there, and he lives in northern Africa. So if you do a map search and you see where Northern Africa at the top, is, it says Cyrene, that's where he lives, and he either took a boat or he took a travel all the way down through Egypt, all the way up to Jerusalem. And he's made a long trip to come to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast, and he's probably heard of this miracle worker, this provider, this guy that's doing something crazy, calls himself, you know, the Christ. I'd like to see him. But either way, what goes on is that Simon, been coming from the countryside, it says, then the soldiers seized him and put the cross on him. The soldiers seized him. He's watching like, what the heck's going on? You know how you guys do when the cops show up in your neighborhood and you act like you're doing something outside? Checking the mail that you already checked and knew that it already came in. I might need to mow the grass right now. I knew that guy was crazy. Or what they call it, rubbernecking. I don't even know what that means, but they're going real slow while they're watching somebody else in a bad wreck. Oh, man, that was bad. And you're sitting there getting ready to get in your own wreck. Simon's coming up to this. What in the world is going on? Get out of my way, son. I'm trying to look. What has happened? There's blood everywhere. And he just, whether they started lining up and he didn't know why they're lining up. People just show up, man. They're trendy. They just show up for weird things and just be here like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? And then Jesus is at a point of, I can't bear it anymore, in a way of, I can't carry this cross. I am so weak right now. So they see that Jesus is falling, and they're trying to get hurrying up there because there's a certain time, and it's getting hot, and you know the birds are going to be coming, and all this stuff's going to be happening. And the soldier just grabs the guy and just yanks him over. Pick up the cross. I'm from Africa, you know, like, what do? Now you're in their territory. And ain't no Jewish rule anyway. It's Rome. So you're in a foreign country that's been dictated by Rome now. And then Simon has to pick up the cross. And watches this man try to pick himself up as he's carrying the cross of Jesus. And he's trying to pick the cross up as he's watching this man get up onto his knees and try to climb himself up. I could see Simon, maybe, let me lend you a hand as I'm holding this. I've been walking too, but I ain't like you have been. But I'll help you up. Get moving! Pushes him, knocks him over, picks him up. He's just there. He just showed up, and now he's a part of the story. You never hear about Simon ever again, before and after, but that he was from this place, and it was northern of Africa that he came to the event. And he's got to carry the cross of Jesus. And he's getting pushed around because it ain't going fast enough, and he's trying to walk. But what I found, I've read this story. I've heard the story. I've read the story. I've read this story many times. I've even seen it as a play. I've watched this whole thing unfold. And it clicked finally. The soldiers seized him and put the cross on him and made him carry the cross behind Jesus. Church, no matter what you do, when you carry your cross, Christ is always going to go ahead of you. He will always be ahead of you as you carry your cross. He was setting an example of the cross being carried and him still walking ahead of the cross, doing what he does. He does what he does. And I'll prove it to you because in Deuteronomy 31:8, he says, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will never leave you. He won't fail you. He won't even abandon you. Church, when you carry your cross, Christ is leading you through the marketplace. Just carry the cross. That's a shout right there. Thanks, Dad. But that's a shout right there. He's leading you. He will go before you as you carry the cross. Wow. It just was an eye-opening thing. We're talking about pick up your cross and follow me. Christ is even saying that. You need to deny yourself, pick up your cross, He shows the example as Simon has to carry Jesus' cross and Jesus has to walk in front of him. But that's what he's always desired, that you just follow Jesus. Just follow after him. Follow Jesus. He will lead you. He won't forsake you. He won't do all that stuff. Maybe somebody else has messed you around. Maybe somebody in a relationship's left you and tried to lead you and turn right or turn left or whatever. Christ will not leave you. He won't forsake you. But there has to be a cross movement happening now. You're anointed. And I think that it matters that the oil was poured on the king and on the prophet. Is this good, church? I know I'm preaching, man. I'm trying to get all this out. Anytime you feel, listen, that the oil or the Holy Spirit anointing is exclusive only to our environment, anytime you feel that it's only exclusive to your environment, you have just limited the possibilities of God. Anytime you feel that the anointing is exclusive only to our environment, you just limited the possibilities of God. Man, the anointing of God is not just for this and just this environment. Right where we are, right where we praise, right where we worship, right where we preach. It's not just for this environment. The anointing of God is not limited to that. You can be anointed tomorrow when you go to your job. Did you hear what I said? You can be anointed tomorrow when you go to your job. And the Bible said, he anointed. If it wasn't necessary, then why did God tell him to anoint a king and anoint a prophet if it wasn't necessary? Why? Because God says, I want them to understand that it's two callings but the same anointing. Two different callings, but it's the same anointing. I take them both as equal and serious as the other. And see, God anoints people for a specific task. If you're taking notes, I mean, you could write this down. The anointing is to enhance what you're gifted to do. The anointing is to enhance what you're gifted to do. What does that? That's what it does. That's what the anointing does. The anointing comes to enhance it. See, some of you are anointed to, are gifted to sell things. Some are gifted to build things. Some are gifted to build buildings and build businesses. Some are gifted to draw. Some are gifted to play instruments. Some are gifted to do all kinds of stuff. Some are gifted to do things, being a big engineer, and do all kinds of stuff. Some are gifted to build with their hands. You're gifted. Maybe you're gifted with computers. You're gifted. This is what you do. You're gifted in this. I have a gift to do this. I can do this. Maybe you notice numbers. You're gifted with numbers. You notice things. You see things that others don't see. You're gifted in that. See, that's the anointing that wants to come on your life to enhance what you've already been gifted to do. The anointing wants to come onto that gift you have and even make it even stronger and better and bigger. The anointing, I'll say it again, is to enhance what you're gifted to do. See, I'll say it like this. David, David was gifted to fight. He killed a bear and he killed a lion. But when the anointing came, he killed Goliath. See, he was already gifted to fight. He was already killing stuff. But when he was anointed, he killed the giant. It took the gift to another level. The anointing took the gift to another level and slayed a giant publicly in the entire region. Right. Don't play with the anointing. God wants to do something with it. And maybe you're like, I didn't even realize it. I need to make some changes. Today's the day, church. Only you can do that. Nothing is more powerful than an anointed professional on their job. Nothing is more powerful than an anointed professional on their job, whatever their job is. God wants to anoint you to be successful, church. Man. God wants to anoint you to carry the cross to the marketplace that you work, church. Not just to hear a good message about a cross, but to pick that cross up and take it to the marketplace to where you work and carry it there and be anointed in that place that you work. See, the anointing is on the priest. The anointing is on the king. The anointing is on the prophet. The anointing, and it's the same anointing. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel 16, when we're talking about David being anointed, Samuel's called for the sons, all the sons of Jesse. There were seven sons, and they all wanted to be anointed. I need all of them to come forward. I need all the sons of Jesse to come forward. I need all of them because I have to anoint one. Okay, I'm coming forward. Okay, you're not the one. You're not the one. You're definitely not the one. You might be the one, but you're not the one. I need them all to come forward. You're not it. You're not it. Is there any other boys you have? Is this all the boys you have? Is this all your sons? Because I know I heard from God. Is this it? I got one more. And guess where he was, church? He was out in the workforce. Doing his job out in the workforce. Good. Where was David? Out in the workforce. Good. And they said, this blew my mind. They said in a phenomenal statement, Samuel said, send and fetch him. He's out tending the sheep. And this is what he says. Send and fetch him. We will not sit until he comes. And here's the reality, church, that we got to realize as we're sitting in this room, that the world is standing at attention waiting for the anointed marketplace people to get to their position. The world is waiting and standing at attention. We will not sit until he comes. What you don't realize is the world's waiting and standing and waiting for the anointed people to get there. You have a job to do. The only Jesus they see might just be you. Get the cross and get moving. The world's not going to change by just a bunch of preachers. The world's going to change when people have the power and the influence in the workplace and they begin to see Christ and the people start to see Christ in you and the anointing goes out to the workplace for the everyday person. Not because you're preaching at them all the time. Not because you're praying in tongues over your lunch out loud. Holy cow. Not because of that. But just because there's just something about bowing your head, even at lunch. Let's just take it real simple, just for 10 seconds. And acknowledging the Lord, not to be seen of man. And just living that life of being who you are and being excellent at what you do and working hard and getting along with people. And all that stuff with going with being a Christian, and that makes an impact in the marketplace and being anointed in that position. See, we've overlooked this, church, many times. We act like the anointing is not necessary for our job. But he said, we won't sit down until the anointed one gets here. There's nothing wrong with wanting to do well on your job. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be successful. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be great, to be a great achiever. See, I want to release you from that. God can give you tremendous success if you believe and be anointed with his anointed. If you just believe and be anointed with, knowing that you're anointed to do it. The Bible says all things. He anoints, he will teach you all things with the anointing. He will teach you all things. It'll teach you how to move in the gift of this and of other things. It'll teach you how to even the gifts of healing and miracles and all that stuff. The anointing will teach you all those gifts. But it will also teach you how to make a good business decision. The anointing not only will do the things that you know that you read about the Word of God and the healings and miracles and all the stuff, it will also teach you how to be good at making decisions. It will teach you how to buy property if it's the right move. The anointing will teach you. Should I do this? Should I do that? The anointing will teach you how to, should I hire this person? And see, if you're flowing in the anointing, you would already be with the right person. Because the anointing will teach you and help you, guide you in your relationships. Should I do this? See, the anointing is the anointing, church. If there's an anointing for the priest, the same anointing will work in your office too, in your cubicle, your office space. The same anointing will sit in there. And I think what happens is the problem we face is that you're not applying it. We're just not applying it. That's the problem that gets faced. It's not being applied. You're not believing. You're not using it. You're just like a preacher who walks to the pulpit, who hasn't stirred up anything and hasn't really prayed at all. Just walks up here and just wings it. When you don't use the anointing, it's the same way as just somebody just coming up and, no, I don't need that, I'm good. See, on your way to work tomorrow, I pray that this gets in your soul. That you take time, that you don't just, you know, you don't just go by the day like it was just last Monday and last Tuesday. No, you take the time that you're going to spend time with God on the way to work. And I'm not saying you have to go into deep intercession. And maybe that time will come for you. That you will dig deep. But can I just keep it simple? Just turn off your radio first. Just turn your radio off first. And Lord, I acknowledge you today. Maybe just turn it off and just say, you know, Lord, I acknowledge you today. You're my source. You're my success. You're my victory. I praise you and I thank you for today. And you've given me this day. God, thank you for letting me get up out of bed and take a deep breath today. Some people died today and I'm glad I'm still alive. So we take it for granted. But just take some time with the Lord, because if you're anointed to do your job, are you spending time to stir up the anointing to do the job? See, I don't have a secular life and a business life. All I have is my all in all. All I have is Jesus. All I need is Jesus. I don't have to separate and do all this. I just need him every second of the day, every breath that I take. God, give me favor. Give me grace. Give me the anointing. Enhance my ability even beyond what I know to do in my own head. I want your anointing. Because your anointing already, like I said, enhances what I'm already gifted with. Amen? What's crazy too about the anointing, David was anointed and 22 years later became king of Israel. David was anointed. I'm going to anoint you as king. See, we act like this happened overnight. It was 22 years later, David was king. Guess what David did? Went right back to the marketplace. I'm going to go tend the sheep. Thanks for anointing me. He's dripping in an oil. I got to go back to the sheep. Wow. And sometimes we don't even understand it at times, but if we can still walk in the anointing, that time will come. See, sometimes your anointing and your appointing doesn't line up yet. But stay faithful to what God has called you to do, because in due season, stuff is going to happen. You're anointed. I'm saying this to you so you can get this. The place and understand that the cross needs to go through the marketplace. I'm trying to get you to understand that the cross needs to get up and get in the marketplace. If you carry the cross with an anointing, it's going to change everything. It changes all things. What do they say the anointing does? It breaks what? Yeah. Mom, come here real quick. I want to do something completely different. See, the problem that we have is that the anointing is messy. And when the anointing, oh my bad, did I get it on something? It's messy. And see, when you're anointed, it does something crazy. It fills. The oil fills the places that needs to fill. I want you to, just some crazy thing here. All I need you to do is walk down the aisle. And I need you just to touch the hand of the person on the ends of the aisle. And then those people are going to touch the hand of the next person and the next person. And you just keep touching just the ends, and they will touch the ends. Okay? That's all I need you to do. Just one hand. Just her hand. Just his hand. Just his hand. And she will touch the other hand. See, the anointing, don't miss your grandson. The anointing saturates and affects everything you touch. The anointing, man, this thing is all over the place, saturates and affects every single thing. Did you pass it on? Yeah. Pass it on. And it, you know, it gets strong on the end, and it might, but it's still there. It's saturated. The anointing does something that nothing else can do. It covers. It moves. See, when you walk into your workplace with the anointing, it can't help but to get on somebody else. It can't help but to get on somebody. Can it not? Seth, come here. Get up. Don't say, huh? Come here. Shake my hand. How are you doing? Doing good? Have a good day today. I saw you do it. He rubbed your hand together like, man, we got some soul glow on this. What's going on there? The anointing, listen to me. All I did is shake your hand. How you doing today? You know what I did? I noticed him. See, some people just need to be noticed at church and at your workplace. They just need to be noticed. How are you today? Some people, you don't even know if they've been fighting with depression or fighting with the thoughts of suicide because they feel like they're just not seen. How are you today? And when you put your hands on somebody, because the anointing's already on your life, it saturates somebody else. Wait, something was different. Wait, hold on. And then you start finding that God starts building a relationship, and you don't even realize that it's happening, but it's happening because God, do whatever you got to do in my life. Continue to pour down on me. Let the anointing fall on my life, God, because I'm anointed to do my job. How many, this is thick. Woo! I got a question for you. How many in this room, talking to you, how many in this room would raise their hand and say that you're in full-time ministry? Just a couple of you? Okay. 99% of you just failed the test. 99% of you did not hear anything I just preached. But there's hope. I'm going to give you a second chance. Let me say it again. How many in this room are in full-time ministry? Raise your hand. Yeah. Yeah. See, the church has messed it up. Because they think that full-time ministry is just a person that sits behind a pulpit that's at the church all day long. Full-time ministry is somebody that's called saying, I make you Lord of all. You're Lord of everything in my life. So wherever I go and I carry my cross, I'm in full-time ministry building this deck for your house. I'm in full-time ministry doing your bank account. I'm in full-time ministry watching these babies. I'm in full-time ministry. I'm anointed to do the ministry you've called me to do and affect the people all around me. It saturates. It saturates everything. Shines and glows. The anointing. It says it breaks every yoke of bondage that tries to hold you down. Church. See, you got to realize that you're anointed. You're anointed, church. Wow. And see, you've probably capped it off. You got to know that you're anointed to do something great. Nobody thinks that this is great, carrying the cross. Simon was just watching. Don't worry, Simon, I'll lead you. Just follow me. Carry the cross and follow me, Simon. I got you. I'll take you to where you need to go. In the Villa Dolorosa. See, God's calling us into our community. Not just like, you got to hear me. This ain't just like, you know, we're getting ready to do an outreach and it's going to be powerful. We've done outreaches. We've fed thousands of people. We've seen hundreds of thousands of people. We've done, over the course of time, we've wore this parking lot out. I'm talking about your everyday going to work day. That is your mission field. I wish the church would grow. What are you doing about it personally? You're waiting on me to do an event? That's not how it works, church. But that's how church has been created. That's not how you grow the church. You grow the church because you're anointed to do your job and bring them back to the house of God. If it ain't growing and there's an empty seat, that's your fault. I'm going to throw something. Okay. Woo. It was a mint, but whatever. Have a hanky. I need the First National Bank fan. Oh my gosh, I'm sweating. And that would have been a good time for an organ. You'd be like, but I'm about to run across this dang room. I'm just telling you right now. When you know that you walk in the anointing of God, it ain't a prideful thing. It's just that you know who you are in Christ. I'm a child of the King. I'm an ambassador to the throne of God. I get to walk in this. Every step I take, I claim because God is with me. I'm not some peasant. I am a child of a King. I'm a prince. You're a princess. What are we doing? But we walk like we just live in Terre Haute. I just make minimum wage and I'm on the system. Just because you might need help doesn't mean your mind needs help and your spirit needs help. You're healthy and wealthy in your spirit. Maybe you truly are dealing with stuff and you got to use the government funds and all that. But don't let your mind get trapped in it. Use it as a stepping stone to get out. And keep moving. You're anointed. You're anointed. If you go out to eat after church, the Rick Smokehouse is playing. I'm not trying to promote my uncle's business. It's just the hoodie. Match my shoes. But if you're going to go out to eat, guess what you're doing? You're anointed to walk into a position, into a place, and change the atmosphere because you're there. Why? Because Christ lives within you, and he dwells. And greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives and dwells in you. Raise them up, church. Bring them in, church. We're ready. We're getting stuff done. We need to get it done. We're ready. But I think a shift's coming. I think the shift is you. Because the chairs that are around you that are empty, you need to fill next week. Who needs the gospel? Have we seriously gone so far that we sit in the same seats every week and just occupy the one seat we have and not saying this seat's for them? Woo! I might need that cough drop I threw. Too late, sucker. Man. Woo. I got to be careful wiping this. This stuff's all over me. It's kind of flinging through my stuff. It's messy. The anointing's messy, man. Can't even do my job right because the anointing messes it up. Hey. Maybe it has to, right? Maybe it has to, right? Maybe because we're so used to it, right? Maybe we're used to doing our own thing because we can control our scenario and our outcome of our stuff. But if we let the anointing be the anointing and saturate every area, what do? We walk by faith then, not by sight. We pick up the cross and move. Better stop. Okay. 1 John, I got to land this bird. 1 John 2, 2:27. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but the same anointing. I love this. The same anointing teaches you considering all things. The same anointing teaches you concerning all things. All things. It's teaching you all things. The anointing is the same anointing. The same anointing is teaching you all things. Remember, you question stuff and you say you can't do it or you're not good enough? The anointing covers all things. Well, I don't know if I can step in. The anointing covers all things. Either you're going to be anointed or you're not going to be anointed. Because you can just do a minimal thing, but with the anointing, what do we say? David killed a lion and a bear, which is a lot to do without the anointing. But being anointed, he slay Goliath and set Israel free. Not just he slay Goliath and it was cool by himself and took and chopped his head off and drug his head all over the place like, ah! Which he did do that, that's why I love him. Because I think I'd do the same thing. I'll go crazy. Like, anyway. But the point is he set Israel free because whoever lost, they lost everything. And so here they are. And even though David did that, he still wasn't king. All things. The anointing will teach you all things. Not just look, we get stuck. Oh, he's going to teach me how to heal. He's going to teach me how to walk in the Spirit. He's going to teach me how to stir up those gifts. I'm not saying that they're not important, and I'm not saying that they're not used in the church, but he'll also teach you how to do sheetrock too. See, nobody wants to hear that. They're just stuck on like, I just wish I had that gift of prophet. See, I wish I had that gift. No, he will actually teach you how to do sheetrock. He'll teach you how to be a good electrician. He'll teach you how to be a good banker. He'll teach you. Limit God just within the walls of this place. The anointing said all things. Teach you how to be a good roofer. Not just religious stuff. Not just church stuff, which I'm all for. Don't get me wrong and don't twist my words. But it's for everything. Please hear me. And if you need me to say it again or you need to rewind it or you want to go gossip to somebody, I said all things. Say all things. See, now we all said it, so you can't gossip. Good job. John 3, 3 John, 3 John. My God, I can't speak. 3 John 1:2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2. Beloved, I pray that you prosper in, say it with me. See, you said it. Good job. All things, and be in. Woo, who wants to be in health? Come on. Beloved, I pray you prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. That's so good. That clap wasn't good for the recording, but that's so good. Good news. I pray you prosper in all things. Man. Whew. Notice that your financial and your physical strength are tied to your spiritual well-being. It's not how clever you are with your finances, but how you're plugged in to the Son of God. You will not live under financial curses in Jesus' name. Hear me one more time. You will not live under financial curses in Jesus' name. How many in this room have financial troubles? Raise your hand. Seriously, how many are struggling with finances right now? For real. Don't like be ashamed of it. I mean, it's almost everybody. The point is, in Jesus' name, the anointing can come and saturate this moment right now. You will not be in financial ruins in Jesus' name. Whew. Beloved, I pray. Beloved, I pray that you, the church, you're the church. I pray. Oh, man. I pray for you about your anointing and your ministry. And don't ever expect the anointing. Don't ever expect that anybody that steps up front, anybody that speaks from this pulpit, just don't expect me or anybody else that preaches here to walk up to this pulpit that have not prayed, that not read the Word of God, that has not sought the Lord. Don't expect, don't think that we're not doing it. We're going to seek God's face. We're going to cry out. We're going to get a hold of the horns of the altar and say, I'm not leaving till you do something. And it's not just for the church. It's for your life. You're the church. It's for your finances. It's for your health. It's for the future of the church. It's for these chairs. It's for the new light. It's for the stuff. It's for the parking lot. It's for your house. It's for your neighbor. It's for everybody. See, it's what we do in private. I mean, there's hours spent doing even this, and I'm not trying to say to build myself up. It's what you do in private that the anointing comes publicly because you've done something privately. The same anointing. If you get up privately in the morning and open this book, the anointing's going to flow out of that book. The anointing's going to start flowing. If you're going to get up in that car and you're going to start driving to work, I pray that the anointing just hijacks your car with you and just saturates you on the way to work. I've seen some crazy stuff happen. You start driving and your steering wheel just starts to feel like it's real. We're like, what, somebody put anointing oil on the steering wheel. Like, there's some stuff going on in here. God will start doing signs and wonders with you. You start walking in the anointing, stuff will start changing around you. Stuff will start shifting in your life. The anointing of God will do great things. I don't know what it looks like to you on that private time. Maybe it's your time of walking in the morning or exercising and doing a little exercise and praying and say, God, I just love you today. I'm going to take care of this because my body's the temple and this temple needs to be get in order with you. I've done some things long enough. I've done neglected some things long enough. I've done some other stuff. I point at everybody else's sin, but I keep eating double cheeseburgers and getting bigger and bigger and I'm a glutton. Is this real stuff? We got to start getting every part of our life in order for God. Whatever it takes, God, I want to have the longevity to do what you called me to do. I'm anointed for it. You've anointed me for it. Woo. I want to be anointed. I want to be anointed. Stand with me. I got to end this. I want to be anointed. I'm anointed. See, what's crazy is the anointing is messy. And what you didn't realize is just in the one moment that you've all been anointed, every hand has something on it. Every hand has physically been anointed in this room. I'm anointed. And some of you didn't realize I had anointing all over my hands earlier and was already walking around shaking hands. I'm anointed. Don't miss this last moment. This is the most crucial moment of the whole entire service. Don't miss the beat. Don't, just because you stood up and don't get real fit, just get lined up. The anointing breaks every yoke of bondage. God's trying to do something. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health. How many need to be in health? How many are struggling with some health right now? I pray in the name of Jesus that your health come in order. In the name of Jesus, that your soul prosper. In the name of Jesus, your health, your finances, in all things that come in order. You're anointed, church. You're anointed, church. See, when you receive something, when you receive something, what do? Just focus. Maybe somebody's praying. Maybe somebody's having a moment with God. It doesn't matter, because God might be speaking to somebody else in a different way. But don't lose your focus, because God's about to wreck your world too. I'm going to ask you to do something. Nobody needs to come forward. Nobody needs to move. All I need you to do is put your hands out like you're receiving something. Just right in front of you. Just like this. Just put your hands out. Now close your eyes. I'm going to pray over you. You're anointed. You're already anointed. You're physically anointed. And if you've called on the name of Jesus and he is Lord of your life, you already are anointed. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. You're anointed. Now you got to do something about it. Here we go. Hands out, eyes closed. In the name of Jesus, I stir up the gifts in all of you. In the name of Jesus, I stir up the gifts in you, all the dreams, all the financial anointings, all the businesses, all the stuff you're doing. Your health will come in order. I pray the anointing saturates your life. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you would have the wisdom to be anointed to teach, be anointed to walk this thing out, be anointed to do great things. I pray that the education that you're going to come over your life, over your mind, it will grow in your life. God, I pray that they will start to be anointed to teach, anointed to go, anointed to do great things, that they will prosper in it. God, I pray, and I take authority over the mind, God, not just health of the physical body, but the mental illness in the room, God. We anoint their minds. We set them free, God, because we're anointed, because you dwell within us, God. God, I pray that their hands are flowing with the anointing in their lives, God. God, in their lives, God, and they do it, God. And I pray that you touch them right where they are, God. I pray that you would prosper and you would work through their hands and you would do great things through them, God, that they would prosper in all things and in all health. I curse sickness and disease in the name of Jesus. We curse sickness and disease in the name of Jesus. We curse it, God. We curse it. We come against it in all matters of sickness, in all matters of disease, God. In your name, we're healed. We're healthy. We're whole. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even as your soul prospers. Come on, church. Keep your hands out. Come on. Stir it up. Keep your hands out. Don't be afraid to pray, but keep your hands out. I pray over your life in the name of Jesus. I pray over your marriage, your relationship, your children in the name of Jesus. I pray over your retirement and everything you do and everything you put your hands to in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Repeat after me. Say, Jesus. Keep your hands out. Say, Jesus, I make you Lord of my life. I trust you. Your blood cleanses me from all unrighteousness. I'm anointed. I'm anointed. I will not fail. I will provide. You are more than enough for me and my family and the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, I'm blessed. I'm forgiven. I'm healed. I'm healed. Come on, shout, I'm healed. Hallelujah. Come on, raise your hands. Come on, church. Come on, shout it to God. Come on, praise him. Come on, church, you can do better than that. Praise him. Praise him for the healing. Praise him for the prosper. Praise him for it. Stir it up. Stir the anointing up. You're healed. You're whole. Your mind is healed. Your marriage is healed. Your relationship. Your kids are coming home. Your family's coming home. It's home. We're called. We're called to go into the marketplace, to take the anointing, to carry our cross. We're called to go. We're called to be anointed in it, God. Forgive us for not bowing down and worshiping you and taking this serious, the anointing you've given us to walk this out in the everyday life we live, God. God, we thank you. God, we worship you today. We're anointed because you said so. You died and rose and left the Holy Spirit to comfort us. We're anointed. Hallelujah. 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 Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Hallelujah. Ah. Man, you're anointed, church. Woo. You're anointed. You're anointed to go. It's cross movement. I would say you need to go and walk like the child of God that you are. You walk in boldness. You walk in authority. You walk with your back up, your head straight ahead. Enough's enough with the messed up backs. Enough's enough. Half the messed up backs is because you can't set yourself up to see that who you truly are. Set yourself up. Pull your shoulders back. Get your head straight and walk this thing out. Because you've been sent by the King of all kings to walk and take and possess the land. And as you do, guess what's going to happen? He's anointing you to help break the yoke of bondage on the people you shake hands with every day at work, every day you talk to. And you want to see the church grow? It's going to grow because revival is going to break out at your job. It's going to break out at the lunch thing. It might break out at school, students, wherever it is. But you are the one. You are the one. You're the one. God, rest on us. Let us soak this in today. Let us soak this all in. We're excited about it. We're excited about it because we know. We might have been sitting dormant, but man, devil, you better watch out because we're coming with authority now. We're coming with the anointing, and the anointing does what the anointing does. It's going to cut right through it all, and we're excited about the fact that I can't wait to get to work tomorrow. I can't wait to get to work tomorrow because I'm going to be prayed up, I'm going to be in the Spirit, and I'm going to be walking in the anointing, and it's going to get messy at work tomorrow because the anointing is going to saturate the whole room. Yeah, we're going to gather one more time. If God deems it, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed next Sunday. But we're going to do our best. You're anointed. Say, I'm anointed. I'm healed. In Jesus' name. So, church, go. Walk like the child of God you are, anointed to carry the cross through the marketplace.